Our lesson tonight is on making purchases. It's really combining two lessons, small and large purchases. We probably won't get through with the lesson tonight. But I want to start with the small stuff. Should we sweat the small stuff? Well, just a few dollars adds up. A little bit here and a little bit there, it does add up. I remember when I was in college, I had a sweet mate named Ann. And every month, at the end of the month, Ann would go out and buy a new outfit. And one day I asked her, I said, Ann, where are you getting all this money to buy these clothes? And she said, well, Mom and Dad send me an allowance every month. And she said, you know, you see me drink water a lot, and I buy things at the grocery store. We didn't like the cafeteria food too much, so we would just raid the vending machines every night. We'd buy a Coke, and we'd buy crackers or candy bars. Ann drank water, and she bought her snacks at the grocery store. And then with the money that she didn't spend on snacks, she bought a whole new outfit every month. So those few things do add up. When I was working, when I retired, the gal that worked beside me stopped every morning at Eliano's to get an iced coffee. She was always on a diet, so she didn't want to eat much. She drank a $4 iced coffee on the way to work every morning and a $4 iced coffee on the way home from work every day. That's $4 a pop. That's $8 a day. That's about $1,500. Well, we worked 190 days a year, so that's $1,500, over $1,500 a year. Just think if you had invested that $1,500 a year, how much you would have after working 30 or 40 years. Listen to the words of Jesus about wasting. This is from John 6:12. Gather the pieces, and I'm not sure what page it's on. Top of page 89. Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. Now let's turn to page 88 at the bottom of the page and listen to the words of Solomon. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. That's Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. How many of you have ever known anybody who lived through the Great Depression? I know I have. My parents did. They didn't believe in wasting, did they? Their mantra was eat it up, wear it out, make it do, and what? Do without. My grandmother Smith was a great meal planner. She didn't have any choice about planning her meals. She couldn't drive, and she didn't have a car anyway. But her husband took her to the grocery store once every 2 weeks. And she bought everything that she needed for 2 weeks. And I think about that so many times when I stop at the store on the way home from work and pick up two or three things. I'm going to go in and pick up two things, and I walk out with what? $30 or $40 or $50 worth of stuff. Leon's mother was the best person I've ever seen, the most self-sufficient person I have ever known in my entire life. They had fruit trees where they grew their own fruit. They grew their own vegetables because her husband was a farmer. They grew chickens, and you know, she'd wring the necks of the chicken and pluck all those feathers. They butchered hogs several times a year. She made all of her daughters, five kids, she made the daughters' dresses out of flour sacks. She made the kids' underwear. She made the boys' shirts. She made soap from lye and lard. She made the sheets on the bed. She made the patchwork quilts on top of the bed. And she made the beds. She made the beds out of cotton batting and feathers. She did not spend very much money. I remember when we first married, I told her she didn't drive either. And I told her I'd take her to the grocery store to buy a week's worth of groceries. And she spent $5. Flour, sugar, and some eggs. And they used to grow their own eggs, but they didn't anymore. Okay, turn over to page 89, and we're going to look at some ways that we can save money. Not too many of us live that way anymore, do we? I want you to look at the bulleted list there of some things that we can do to save. First of all, and I think this is a good one, keep a book that lists at least 100 items that you buy regularly with space to record the cost of each in at least three different stores you visit regularly. Then you'll know who's got, you know, our memories are not that good, or at least mine's not. You'll know which one has the best price on it. Put a moratorium on shopping. Don't purchase anything except groceries, gas, and personal necessities for 3 months. Something you need to acquire, put it on a list to get it later, and you may think of some way to do without it. This will save you time, money, and it'll change your consumer mentality. Set a deadline for using every item in your freezer or pantry. Learn to make something from scratch. Now, I won't ask who buys their pie crust already made, but it takes one cup of flour and a third a cup of shortening and some ice water to make a pie crust. And it doesn't take that long to do it. And just think what you spend on, and that's practically nothing. But it certainly costs a lot more than that to buy it already prepared. Make a double or triple recipe of something, and then freeze what you don't use that night, and then you'll have several meals. Here's some more things that are not in the list. If it's possible, grow a garden. Buy in bulk from discount stores. Use coupons and look for specials. Quit eating out so much. Now, my favorite restaurant in West Palm Beach, we don't have one in Valdosta, is Carrabba's. And we ate there the other night, and I came home and looked up and found the recipe for what I like. I like tagliarini. Stephanie helped me. Tagliarini piquipaca. It's an angel hair with just a marinara-type sauce on it with no meat. And I found that recipe online. I bet it's going to be a lot cheaper to make it than it cost at Carrabba's. And, of course, quit wasting so much. Like, for example, how many times have you put vegetables in the refrigerator and then a week or 2 weeks later you throw them out? Well, you could do this. Put them in a container in the freezer and just throw them all together. And after you got the container full, what can you do with it? Make some vegetable soup. For years, I've always made vegetable soup with the leftover roast beef. And with just two of us there, it's hard to buy a small enough roast for just two people. So what I have left, I use for soup. Of course, if you have leftover rice, what can you do with it? Rice pudding. If you have leftover bread, you can make bread pudding. If you have a bunch of black bananas, what can you do with them? Banana bread. Okay. Become a coupon queen. How many of you are coupon queens? Okay, I got some coupon queens in here. There's a story in Lesson 9 about a millionaire who said that when he got married, he started with a kitchen table. That was about all they had. And one day he came home and he told his wife that he was giving her $8 million in the company's stock. And she was sitting at the kitchen table cutting out 25 cent and 50 cent coupons, and she never stopped cutting out. She said, "That's really nice, dear." $8 million, and she's still cutting out the coupons. He said, "That's the way she's always done, and she's never stopped doing that." And a little bit here and a little bit there, it all adds up. Now, one thing I like about Publix at home that y'all don't have here is that when they have a buy one, get one free, they'll let you buy one of them. You don't have to buy two. You can buy one for half price. Here, you got to buy two. But what I enjoy doing is getting a coupon for, like, I love Progresso soup. And occasionally I get the coupon. It's a dollar off if you buy four cans. Well, I wait until Publix says it buy one, get one free. And I buy $10 worth of soup, and it costs me less than $4. So I get a dollar off plus buy one, get one free. Turn over to page 91, and we're going to look at sort of a summary, a recap of coupons. It says that at the top, it says a penny saved is a penny earned. Did you know stores get 8 cents for every coupon they return to the manufacturer? Did you know that? But if they double, are there any stores here that double coupons? No, we have a few back home that do. But if they double them, they break even. Some stores double their coupons, usually for up to 50 cents. And some stores accept other stores' coupons. And some internet sources of coupons time their coupons with stores' special sales. Stores put items on sale on a set schedule. I don't know if you've noticed that before. But if they have Progresso soup this week, wait 6 or 8 weeks and they'll have it again. They have a set time schedule that they use to put things on sale. And a lot of these internet coupon sites will put their coupons out with those specials. Some stores sell loss leaders. Loss leaders is something they take a loss on. Why in the world would they sell something and take a loss on it? Well, it's designed to lead you into the store in the hopes that you're going to do what? Buy something else, and they'll make it up on those other things. We have four grocery stores in Valdosta. We have Publix, Walmart, Winn-Dixie, and Harvey's. Harvey's is the highest. But I look at their flyers every week. I buy the bulk of my groceries at Walmart because they're a lot cheaper. But then I look at the specials, and I'll go to two or three grocery stores every week besides Walmart and get all their specials. Just go in and get the specials and nothing else. Of course, we know if they have house brands, those are usually cheaper. Even if somebody else has one on sale, a lot of times the house brands will be cheaper. And you don't have to buy, always have to buy two to buy one, get one free. But I guess in here you do to get one for half price. Look down at the next heading. Oh, okay. Okay. The internet sources. Now, there are just dozens and dozens of places to go online. If you have not been online to look for coupons, you need to go online. There are lots and lots of coupons online. Now, you know those two inserts in your newspaper on Sunday, Smart Source and Red Plum. They also have their own website. But these are just some are real popular. Smart Source and Red Plum are real popular. Coupons.com and Coupon Susie, those are real popular. And they'll have lots and lots of coupons in there. Then if you have a particular manufacturer you like I like Kraft cheese, well, go to Kraft.com. And look at the top, at the little menu at the top, and they'll have coupons. So whatever manufacturers you like to buy from, go to their website and they may have some coupons that you can print. And then other sources of coupons, well, newspaper inserts. And, of course, the best day of the week is what? To get those. Sunday. But they have them on other days of the week, too. Magazines, such as All You. Here's a copy. Any of you ever see All You magazine? It's loaded with coupons. This one says, inside, $91.60 worth of coupons. And I've got a few of these up here. These are little things to subscribe, or you can go to allyou.com and subscribe. And this one's only $1.69 an issue. Some of them are 10% off. So if you want one of those, you can come pick one up. So magazines, peelies, y'all know what those are, don't you? Those little things you peel off the product. And I always have to peel it off and stick it up so I'll see it and not forget. Blinkies, you know what a blinky is? A blinky is a coupon machine that has a blinking light. And then store tear pads, display boards, coupon bins, manufacturers' coupons and rebates, junk mail, and emails from stores. There's some stores I get emails from, and they'll send coupons sometimes. Down at the bottom, you'll see a coupon lingo. They have all kinds of abbreviations they use for couponing. Now, I want you to look at the next page, page 92. And this is a grocery list. You can go online and find these grocery lists, but I never seem to find one that I want that's just like what I want. So I did my own. And everybody got my little business card. My email address is on there. If you want this Word document, and you can copy this. But if you want the Word document and you can make changes and make your own, then just email me and I'll send it to you. Okay? But this is a pretty complete grocery list. How many of you make a list before you, well, don't raise your hand, but do you make a list before you go to the grocery store? You really should, and stick to the list, unless there's just something you forgot to put on the list. Because if you don't stick to the list, I can never remember. If I have five items, I cannot remember all five of them. I get to the grocery store and then I'll forget one of them. So make a list, and keep, you know, I make my list all week long. So if I think of it right now and I don't go write it down, what happens? I don't remember it tomorrow. So start, make your list all week long and then take it with you and stick to the list. Now, you got my card. On the back is, on the front, you got my email address, my home address. You also have my website. Kevin designed a website for me because I like to cook and I have lots of recipes. And everybody's always asking me for copies of my recipes. I have 135 recipes on my website. So there's your place to get you some recipes to make some things from scratch. And if you'll turn it over on the back, there's a number on the back, and I wrote four numbers up here. And if you got one of those numbers, you're going to get a free All You magazine. 8, 31, 17, and 22. Okay. Thank you. Now, I had five people raise their hand. Who else had their hand up? Okay. And you had one? 42, okay. Okay, I'll trust you if you saw your number. If it's buy one, get one free. Okay, Jackie just told me something I didn't know. If it's buy one, get one free, you can use two coupons. Did y'all hear that? Buy one, get one free, use two coupons.
These coupons
are expired. Are they? Are they? Well, these are old issues. I'm sorry. But there are some good things in there. And you can buy this. You can buy all you magazine at Walmart, but it'd be cheaper to have a subscription. But I have 5 of these if you want one to sign up for a subscription, and some of them are discounts. Or go to allyou.com. Okay. Turn over to page 90. Here's some tips. Look at this bulleted item of tips for getting the most for your money. Well, the first one we've already said. Use a shopping list and buy only what's on your list. Calculate the unit price. That's the price per unit, per ounce, per piece, per pound. If it has 15 items in it, you want to know how much each item costs and divide the cost of the total package by 15. If it's got 22 ounces and you want to know how much it is per ounce, if you want to compare two items, calculate the unit price on each one. Usually you don't even have to calculate it, do you? Why? Because it's right there on the shelf. Most stores, they're going to have the unit price on the shelf there where they have the description. Third, buy in bulk for heavily discounted items. Use price tracking websites such as thegrocerygame.com. Get a coupon organizer. Now, mine is just a little leather pouch that I carry in my purse. If you have an envelope, it's usually going to tear up. But they sell these coupon organizers. And I see women walking into the stores at home that have huge notebooks full of these things. If you're going to buy one of those, you need to develop your own coupon filing system. You can do it by expiration date. You can do it by product, or you can put them in alphabetic order. You need to purge your coupons regularly so that you check that they're not, they haven't expired. It's embarrassing to get up there and they've already expired. It's aggravating to you, too. You can combine manufacturer's coupons with a store's weekly specials. Many stores offer loss leaders, advertised products that are below cost, designed to lead you into the store so that you'll buy some more. Check manufacturers' websites for printable coupons and browse coupon websites for downloadable coupons. And learn the store's policy. All stores have different policies about how they do coupons. And be nice about coupons. Don't go into the store with your load of coupons and they've got 20 of this great buy on, you know, detergent or something, and you wipe out every one that's on the shelf. Be nice about it. Read the coupon carefully before you use it to make sure it's exactly what's advertised on the coupon, and of course it hasn't had an expiration date that's been met. Put the items that you're buying together that have coupons, and watch as the cashier rings up the coupons, because I've gone in many times and they've got the whole thing rung up and I said, "You did subtract the coupon?" "No, I forgot." And they don't want to go back and redo everything. If you've got a whole bunch of them, shop at the slow hours if you have a lot to purchase, such as mid-morning and early morning. And be courteous to others. Don't get in the express line if you've got a whole bunch of coupons. And share your coupons with others. I see people leaving coupons that they weren't going to use. They lay them next to the product. And that's nice that people do that. Okay, I'm going to look and see how much time we got. Not a whole lot. That's the first half of my lesson. We're going to talk about psychology next. I have a friend that used to stock Pepperidge Farm bread at grocery stores, and he said that vendors literally fight like cats and dogs over shelf position because they know how important shelf position is. Now, the best place probably to be on a shelf is right there as you walk in the front door of the grocery store or wherever, right in the front. But the display tables are very popular. End caps are very popular. That's at the end of the aisle, the display at the end of the aisle. Eye level is very popular. And you know where the cheapest products are? The ones that are the least expensive products are on the bottom shelf. The most expensive ones are at eye level. So shelf position is very important. Now, and where do they put those items they want you to impulse buy? Those $1 and $2 items right up there next to the cash register. There's a reason they're there. But these things are very important. The shelf position, color, lighting, and the manner that things are displayed. Just looking at products on a shelf can increase your heart rate, affects your dilation. Literally, do you think about a dog looking at food and how it salivates? You can increase your heart rate, the dilation of your pupils changes, the retina reaction in your eyes changes, your peripheral vision is affected, and you release proteins and adrenaline just from looking at things on a shelf. So you don't ever go to the grocery store when you're what? Hungry. Well, if you get all those kinds of chemical changes to your body, just from looking at groceries on a shelf, what do you think happens when you go look at new cars? If you have a degree, I don't have anybody in here with a degree in marketing. You took a lot of courses in psychology, didn't you? Did you take courses in psychology? Oh, you didn't? Well, marketers use a lot of psychology. And a good salesperson knows psychology, and they are aware of the chemical reactions that you experience when you buy a high-ticket item. They say that people can get a rush, just like a drug addict, when they start looking at big-ticket items like new cars. Because buying a car brings out sensual, fleshly nature in us, and it fulfills the cravings of sinful man. Because a new car feels good, it looks good, and it smells good. And we can boast of what we have when we buy a new car, so other people will think more of us. And I think if you'll turn over to page 94, we're going to look at 1 John 2:16. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and he does comes not from the Father, but from the world. What's the cheapest car you can buy? Yes, the Sky read her lesson. The one she already has. The cheapest car that you can drive is the one that you already own right now. Just make it last longer. We used to say, you know, you didn't trade cars when you get 100,000 miles on them. But as we said before, cars last longer and they're built better now. You should, if you take good care of your car, you should be able to get at least 200,000 miles out of it. Now, and if you buy a new car, folks, you don't really even need to go to a car dealership. Stay away from the car lot. You can do all of your research online. And the absolute best website for finding a car is called Edmunds.com. E-D-M-U-N-D-S. It's in your lesson. Edmunds has every kind of research that you want to do on buying a car. They have tips on buying new and used cars. They have car comparisons. You can tell it what features that you would like in a car, and they'll tell you which cars are best for you to buy. They talk about auto financing, auto insurance. They review cars. They have dealer ratings, car safety, warranties, buying versus leasing, maintenance. If you decide what kind of car, you can, folks, you can email or fax the dealership. And if they don't ever see you, they know that you're doing your research and they're going to give you a good price. You can actually, after you've decided what car you want, you can do inventory searches through Edmunds.car, and they will tell you, let's say you decide within 100 miles of where you live, they'll tell you every car that's like the one you want within 100 miles of where you live. The true cost to own and the true dealer cost. Now, how do these dealerships, how many of you have ever seen a dealership advertise that they were selling $100 over invoice? Or some of them will even say they're selling it for invoice price. Have you ever seen that? Is that true? Well, actually, legally it's true. They say they'll show you the invoice, and it is the invoice from the manufacturer. What they don't tell you is they don't tell you anything about holdback. Holdback is something that's done later on after they've paid the invoice. The manufacturer holds back a portion of it and sends them a check later. Four times a year, once a quarter, the dealer gets a check from the manufacturer for the cars that they have sold that they've already paid the invoice on. If it's an American-made car, it's 3% of the invoice price. If it's a foreign-made car, it varies with foreign cars. But there's something called a holdback. So if they tell you they're selling it to you at your invoice price, that may be correct. But keep in mind, they're going to get 3% back from that price. So you need to stay away from the used car lot or the new car lot. There's really only two times that you need to visit the car lot. After you have decided what car you're going to get, go there. Don't even give them your name. Just say, I want to take a test drive. Test drive the car and then go back. Then do all your negotiating online. You can do it through a fax machine or email. And then just go back to sign all the paperwork and pick up the car. Now just think about all that stuff that's going through your body when you're looking at those new cars, and you're going to avoid all that stuff. Negotiate from the invoice price up, not from the sticker price down. Don't finance with a lender, folks. They make a lot of their money through financing. And if you've got a trade-in, the best way to do it is to sell your old car yourself. You'll probably come out better that way. But if you are going to trade in, never mention the trade-in. Just ask them what they'll sell it to you outright. And after you've agreed on a price, then say, well, what will you give me for the trade-in? And if you're buying a used car, you want to look at Kelley Blue Book. Remember that most of the money that's made in a dealership is made not on the car lot. It's made in the finance office. They want you to lease with them because they make more money on leases than they do on straight sales. They want you to finance with them because they make a kickback from the financing. They want you to buy an extended warranty because they make commissions on that. They want you to buy credit life insurance because they make commissions on it. Big, big commissions. They want you to trade in because they make a lot of money on trade-ins. And they'll ask you about add-ons like undercoating, rust-proofing, fabric protection. Some of them are worthless. Well, my husband said, well, in Florida, you need undercoating. I said, yeah, but some of them will try to sell you undercoating, and they came undercoated from the factory. Most foreign-made cars do come undercoated from the factory, so if they sell you undercoating, you're just paying for something twice. Let's turn over to page 97. And I want us to read James 4, 2, and 3. This is a very sobering scripture to me, and I think I need to read it every time I think about buying a new car or something that's expensive. For you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. That's not the only reason God gave us our possessions. It's just for pleasures. Now, I have another section on housing, but I don't think we're going to have time to cover it. I do want to sort of give a conclusion. The whole conclusion from these whole nine lessons is that we need to be good stewards of the possessions that God has given us. And if we are good stewards, then we will have financial peace. And if God has numbered the very hairs on our head, don't you think He really cares about our daily spending decisions? And He has numbered the hairs on our head. That's Matthew 10 and 30. So let's all make it a goal to be good stewards of what God has given us. And Stephanie asked me to finish a little bit early tonight. I have thoroughly enjoyed being with y'all. And it's been wonderful being with you and wonderful just being at Palm Beach Lakes. We hope to get back a lot because we really enjoy the congregation here.